And joining us now is Dr. Justin Wagner, a beef system specialist at the K-State Research Extension Center here in the Southwest, Garden State, at least where he's based. Good morning, Dr. Wagner.
Good morning, Ken.
All right, we're going to get into it. It seems like these months are going by quicker and quicker. The Focus on Feedlot closeout came out end of last week, and so we wanted to try to get you in here to talk about. We're talking about these June numbers. Right before I went on the air, I said, not much. And you go, now, wait a minute, look in the numbers. You did some digging into this, and yes, there are some things to pay attention to when you look at year over year, huh?
You know, I think that's right, Ken. I know, you know, a lot of our listeners here that maybe do get the report, you know, might have had that same reaction that you had. Well, this doesn't look like there's much going on in those numbers. And so I, you know, took a step back here and I said, well, you know, let's go back to June of 23 and those closeout. Let's kind of see where we've been, make that year-over-year comparison. One of the things that we've talked a lot about has been this cattle inventory and what that looks like. And so typically in the summer months, as I think about May, June, and July, that's when a lot of those traditional spring-fed calves, we tend to see a lot of marketings out of the feed yard is kind of here, especially in Kansas, that I think of. Those tend to be pretty strong months for cattle marketings for us. And so as I looked at these numbers and I saw 22 and 15,000, the 15,000, you know, we marketed 15,000 head of heifers out of these yards in June of 24. You know, that number seems a little bit low to me. So did a little digging, like you said, went back into the numbers here. And sure enough, if we go back to 2023 in June, we marketed just over 20,000 head of heifers. On the steer side of things, that marketing number in 2023 was 34,000 head of cattle, relative to the 22,780 this month. And so in aggregate, if we put those two numbers together and we just kind of make the cattle inventory story a little bit more real here for our listeners, you know, that's 13,000 fewer cattle that were marketed by these yards in the Focus on Feedlots in June of 2024 relative to June of 2023. If we want to make that even more real, you know, if I say those are 30 head loads coming out of the feed yard, that's 400 loads fewer cattle that were delivered in June of 2024. So as we, you know, we talk about this inventory story that we've talked about, you know, as I looked at these months, and of course, that June 23 on the steer side of the numbers, that was a pretty high point in our cattle marketing. So, you know, we have to always kind of take some liberty with the interpretations there, but I think it certainly captures the extent of this cattle inventory and the, maybe the market that's going to be there as we move into the fall. Before we kind of dig into the performance numbers, I think the other thing that, you know, starts to jump out at me in terms of our numbers this month would be our current feed inventory and our commodity prices for July of 24. We continue to see the lower end of our corn range come down. We're at 379 this month. We haven't seen a number in that range for quite some time. It put our average on corn price in the feed yards at just over $5 per bushel. Also in the past, we've talked about, you know, when are we going to start to see these hay prices start to soften just a little bit into the feed yard? And this is really the month that we started to see that and capture that in the data. We went from $222 a ton last month on the ground hay price or alfalfa price on average to $159 this month. So we took about $63 out of that. We're actually seeing some of this hay coming into the feed yard at $135 a ton range. Now the question is, what's the quality of that? What's the story behind that? Is that old carryover hay? We don't know. I would speculate that some of that's probably there. So, you know, a few, you know, nuggets, as you put it, to kind of pull out of these numbers that, you know, maybe give us some of the current market sentiment. So, you know, we can kind of dig into maybe some of the other performance numbers. In weights, we're actually slightly down just a little bit this month. You know, that's probably an artifact of that calf-fed story. If we look at our final weights, really right on the trend line there, maybe just a little softer there at 1431 on the steers and 1293 on the heifers. Average days on feed between steers and heifers are 202 for the steers and 204 on the heifers, so right at a 200 days on feed. We've talked about that days on feed number a lot. You know, it's not 120 days anymore. No. It's typically going to be a number that's somewhere between 180 and and 200 right now in the industry. And so average daily gains, I would say those were still pretty steady in terms of performance at 3.3 on the steers, 2.9 on the heifers, which you think about heifers on average gain in 3 pounds a day. That's a pretty strong number there, you know, to think about there and just that spread between steers and heifers. And we'll touch on that here in just a little bit. If we look at our feed to gain, 6.3 and 6.6, pretty strong there, strong to steady there. Death loss, a little higher on the heifers this month at 3.3 versus the 2.7 on the steers. As we get into the cost of gain, we're looking at those cattle that came out of the yard and were marketed on the steers would have been around $1.11 and $1.20 on the heifers. So the other part is we talked about, you know, these corn prices starting to come down. What does that do to place cost of gain? And so right now we're looking on average $106.75 on a steer that would be placed on feed mid-July, and $113 would be the estimate for the heifers that would be placed on feed this month. And so, you know, one of the stories to touch on here in these numbers is that gap between steers and heifers. And so traditionally, you know, we've talked that there's usually about a $10 spread between the cost of gain of a steer versus the cost of gain of the heifers, with the heifers being a little higher, you know, a little higher death loss. We've got some other issues, maybe slightly lower performance on the heifers. What we're starting to see is, you know, those numbers, that gap is starting to grow closer. So the, in my mind, what we're starting to see is the heifers are beginning to catch the steers in terms of their performance numbers. And I actually have a few yards where, you know, they feel that the cost of gain in terms of how they manage their heifers is really very similar to the steers in some cases. Now, that's not across the industry on average, but there is, you know, we're certainly starting to see some of those things begin to come closer together, especially as the heifers begin to close, I guess, the performance gap, if you will, on some of their steer counterparts. So some really good heifer numbers, I think, in terms of the performance side of things this month as well.
Well, all right. Now, I know we talk about those performance numbers a lot. I like to talk and focus in on, you know, the ration costs, not maybe reflected maybe a little bit with corn and hay prices, but I think moving forward we could see a big change of what we've seen over the last 30 days. I mean, you got a pretty wide gap there in both corn and alfalfa.
No, that's absolutely right, and it's not uncommon for us in terms of the feedlot numbers to really see the gap in those range of those numbers for both corn as well as hay start to widen a little bit, especially as we get to this time of year. You know, as we get into late summer, August, September, maybe into the fall, we seem to see those ranges come, because what happens is we've kind of got that old crop, and then we've got some that start to transition to kind of the new crop there. So, you know, yes, that gap is wide. I think that likely accounts for a large portion of it. It's just kind of where we're at in terms of the time of the year. I do agree with you. I think we'll continue to see, you know, you're pretty in tune with those commodity prices as well. But, you know, the big question is, you know, where's corn going to go, right? Where's it going to settle out at as we get into the fall here? And I think that's we're likely going to see that maybe move into a position that's hopefully going to create a pretty strong calf market for us this fall. You know, as we talk about those, you know, those feeder inventories, right? And then we talk about, you know, maybe lower projected cost of gains and ration costs coming into the fall and feed yard. You know, that certainly is a position that would put those feeders in hopefully a pretty favorable position, right, in terms of being able to go out there and capture some of those calves this fall. So, you know, stay tuned, right? We'll see what happens as we get into this fall calf run for sure.
So let's talk about kind of moving forward. We know early on we had great grass. We had nice turnout because things look good. The usual happened, the heat. The drought monitor shows we're starting to see some stress. And so what are you seeing? What are you observing? What are you hearing about the situation with grass? And, you know, something you and I talked about over the years, in this time of the year, we talk about early weaning. Where are we looking at? And all the other numbers we're seeing, piece all that together moving forward. if you can.
Yeah, well, I'll do my best. That's always kind of the fun part about this segment with you is I feel like we get to talk about the feeder segment, and then we kind of shift back to what does that mean to the cow-calf operators. So, you know, let's touch on those current conditions across the state because I think there's something there that, you know, bears drawing some attention to. So, you know, if we look at, you know, where we started, where we're at, certainly in the last couple weeks, we've seen the drought monitor that you and I both look at. We've started to see a little bit more color in there across the state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, I think in the last week, we went from about 58% of the state experiencing some level of drought conditions to around 88%. So that certainly captures that number. So, you know, we're getting more color in that drought map. And really what's happening is, you know, if we look at this year especially, we started the growing season off, you know, fairly dry in a large portion of the state. We received some beneficial precipitation during that growing season. You know, really had a pretty decent grazing season. You know, that was one of our questions that we had, I think, early on in the year. So what we're seeing now is, you know, we're kind of living in the moment with our moisture situation. And so some of those areas that have seen that rainfall, you know, it's pretty easy for them to start to slip back and start to get dry very rapidly. So, you know, what does that mean in terms of our grass production, our forage production on those pastures? And so if we think about many of those regions are going to be dominated by warm season grasses, you know, they're starting to come down in terms of both their quality and quantity. I mean, we are, you know, if you think about it, the days are getting shorter, the nights are getting longer, right? We've kind of shifted over there. The other part of that story is those I'll call them beneficial forbs. There may be some other names that are out there that are also a part of those cattle components. Oftentimes, those are what begin to fill those gaps, especially as forage quantity in the pasture begins to come down a little bit. Well, they're becoming more mature. They're less palatable. So we kind of get this story of, well, in some cases, we may be seeing some, you know, challenges in terms of forage quantity as well as quality as we come into this tail end of the grazing season. Now, with that, with those drought conditions, the other, you know, thing that's been coming across my desk is we're starting to get some reports of some high nitrates, especially some of these feed crops that have seen some stress in some given areas. Maybe that's due to some storm damage. So I think that's always good to put that on our radar. So, all right, we talked about the grass there. Well, how do we manage that? And to me, a big part of that is, okay, if we've got some pastures that we can rotate across to, maybe want to extend that grazing season out, you know, now's the time to maybe think about that. You'd mentioned early weaning. We can touch on that as well. But with rotation, what we're doing, even if we rotate into a pasture that we've been into before, right out of the gate, that's going to increase diet selectivity, which should improve diet quality for those cows that are out there. What we have to be cautious of, especially this time of year, is overgrazing, right? So we've really got that balance that has to occur there too. So you mentioned the feeders. You know, what we're seeing there in terms of feed prices, commodity prices, what do we really need to be aware of there? And so, you know, as we think about early weaning, marketing those calves, you know, likely going to be strong demand for those calves this fall. And so, you know, there could be an opportunity, you know, if we think about value of gain for a cow-calf producer that maybe wants to wean those calves early, do a short backgrounding program, maybe that looks like 30 to 45 days on feed. You know, I would encourage producers to look at, if they have the facilities, if they have the ability and the feed resources to maintain those calves, you know, we may be setting ourselves up for a situation where maybe that makes some sense. If that value of gain, if the market's going to pay us to produce a 6-weight calf relative to a 5-weight calf or a 6 versus a 7, whatever that may be for that particular producer, I think this is going to be a year to take a second look at that. You know, we're coming into a situation where we may have a little more feed reserves than what we've had in prior years coming into it, and certainly the cost of feeding out those calves. Now, the other side of that is the market may pay us to just go ahead and take those calves to town, right? So that's a bit of an unknown there. So the other side of that you mentioned is retention. What's that look like for heifer retention? And that's one of the areas where I think that's a big question mark in terms of, well, you know, what are producers going to do as we look at, you know, the possibility of a very strong calf market this fall? You know, does the potential benefits of adding a replacement to the cow herd with a lower development cost, how does that play into that female's particular value as a feeder animal. Where is that going to be more? And I, you know, I wish I had a better crystal ball for you there, but that one's a bit cloudy for me right now. I think we're going to start to see, you know, we've seen 1 year of a pretty strong market. We're likely going to see another pretty strong calf market this fall. You know, we could start to see some incentive there for a few producers to start to retain those animals as well. But on the flip side of that is, I come back to that 13,000 fewer cattle marketed out of six feed yards in Kansas in the month of June of 2024 alone. That's a significant number, right? So if you're a feed yard, you know, there's likely going to be a pretty strong demand to refill those pens, right? And keep those pens full. So stay tuned, I guess. That's what I can say at this point.
Well, that's it. And who knows, you know, I think we may have a little different conversation in 30 days as well, based on the weather and possibly some other things, and where these houses are paying, and you know, how that's going to go, or what. I think there's some other things that we can talk about that could impact a lot of these things moving forward. So, well, Dr. Wagner, as always, appreciate it. Folks can find out more at agmanager.info, and we look forward to doing this again next month.
Thanks again, Ken. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Dr. Justin Wagner, a beef system specialist at the K-State Research Extension Center at the Southwest Center there in the Garden City, has joined us here this morning.